Peter and the Jailbirds, Chapter 12, Tell. This chapter contains warnings for semi-graphic descriptions of gunshot wounds and emergency medical care. It's your own damn fault Cap and I haven't seen each other in 4 months, Sam said, mentally cataloging Peter's wounds. Graze on his forearm, through and through in his bicep and thigh, and a really worrying shot in his abdomen towards the upper left. Stomach, probably, which would explain why Peter kept choking on his own blood. Tony snorted. Yeah, well, put pressure on it, Tony. Seriously. Shit, Peter, no, don't fight us. Stay still. I know it hurts. I'm sorry. We have to. Oh, shit. Tony picked himself up off the floor of the other side of the jet and dusted off his ass, leaving another blood stain across his suit. Jesus, kid, if you punch like that while half out of it, I'm not getting in any fights with you again. That wasn't payback for the teenager comment, was it? Warily braced for a similar punch, Sam tucked Peter's uninjured arm back by his side. Cap, he ordered, steeling himself for what they'd have to do to keep Peter alive. Bucky, come hold him down. Gloves first, fuck's sake, you think you were born in the Stone Age. Here, Cap, wrap the dressing around his arm, secure it, yeah, like that. Do the same for his thigh, Bucky, yep, there you go, now press down hard. Harder, come on, he bust your ass once before, you're not gonna break him now. That's it. Cap, put pressure on his arm and his stomach once I've finished bandaging. Yeah, right there. Peter's face went sheet white with pain as Steve pinned him down on the stretcher. Sorry, son, Steve said. You can get me back for this later, all right? You got that from Sam, didn't you? Peter coughed. Calling me son? He does, huh? Cap said with an inscrutable glance at Sam. Pretty sure I got it from Steve, actually, Sam said, leaning over Peter again to slide an IV of dextrose and saline into his wrist. This walking anachronism's full of weird phrases. I have to watch myself or I start sounding like I'm 99 years old. Peter laughed wetly, then closed his eyes, fighting for breath. Sam fit an oxygen mask over Peter's mouth and strapped it into place. Your job, he said, is to breathe. Got that? Peter nodded. Sam grabbed a syringe of Dilaudid and Tony grabbed his wrist. Don't, Tony said. They don't work on him. I know he's a little extra, Sam said, shaking free of Tony's grip. Just like Cap, I'm going to increase the dose until I find a level that works. No, Tony said, it's not the amount. He's not like Steve, okay? His DNA is different. Human medicines don't bind to his receptors properly. They just make him sick for a little while his immune system fights them off. We've been trying to engineer a replacement, but nothing's worked yet. Sam blinked at Tony. Nothing works? Nothing at all? He's taken fluid replacements before, electrolytes, that sort of thing. He can't take a transfusion from a normal human, but we've got a few bags of his own blood on hand here, and more in the tower. Peter was staring up at them, eyes wide and full of dread. It's okay, Sam said automatically and set a hand on Peter's shoulder. It's okay, son. You're gonna be all right. We're going to take care of you. He set the dilaudid syringe aside and reached into the medical hatch, sifting past bags labeled. Sam blinked at the labels again, then glanced back at Tony. Tony spread his hands in a silent shrug. Thanks, Sam said quietly. He flipped past Banner, Barnes, Barton, and Maximoff, slid one of Peter's transfusion bags out of its slot, and started setting up another IV line. Don't let it go to your head, Tony said. You're not as good at being an asshole as you think you are, Sam said, which really isn't saying much, but it's a start. Thanks, Tony said. I think. He stepped back and started poking at his phone, muttering at it under his breath. You're welcome, Sam said. Probably. Peter barely flinched as Sam slid the infusion IV needle in and taped it in place. He was starting to shiver, eyes going in and out of focus, so Sam yanked a metallic blanket out of a storage slot and worked it around Peter's body, navigating around Steve and Bucky as best he could. How are you doing, Peter? Sam asked. Peter said. That good, huh? Sam set a heart monitor and pulse oximeter onto Peter, then hooked them up to the Stark pad set into the medbay wall. I've got to call base, Tony said. Nat, what's our ETA?
About 3 hours, Natasha called from the cockpit.
Three? Sam looked up at Tony in horror. You've got to be kidding me.
What part of middle of the ocean floating super, super, supermax prison wasn't clear? Tony snapped, pulling out his phone and tapping at it. What am I telling May?
Sam turned back to Tony so that Peter couldn't see his lips and said as quietly as he could, maybe don't tell her that if he doesn't get into an OR within an hour, he'll be dead. Or he would be if he were normal. You sure there's nowhere else we can land? No other medical facilities equipped to handle him.
I can, Peter rasped, hear you.
Sam cupped Peter's cheek in his palm around the oxygen mask.
I am going to bring you home, he said, holding Peter's gaze. I swear to you, son. I held Cap together until we could get him to a safe medical facility. I'm going to do the same for you.
Tell...
Peter started to cough again, harsh and wet. Sam lifted the mask off enough to wipe the blood away from Peter's face, then set it back in place. Shut it and breathe, he said. That's your job now. I'm serious. You got that? Mission success, Tony said. No, yes, of course we... Rhodey, you have no faith in me. I would never... Oh, hi, Pepper. How are you? Do you know where we could find some... Hi, May. How's it going? Yes, Peter's with us. We're all here. We're on our way home. Be there in 3 hours. Peter's eyes locked onto Tony. Well, he's a little busy right now. You know, the plane's pretty cool and all, and you know how he gets around new tech. He's... Peter stretched his fingers toward Tony, eyes pleading. No, I am telling you the truth. I... Tony deflated a little. Yes. No, yes, I know, right? Well, he's fine, May. We're going to get him home. Yes, I was getting to that, okay? Hang on. He got, he got shot. Sam's patching him up. Yeah, Sam Wilson, the Falcon. Once a pararescue, always a pararescue. Anyway, he's, got Peter on oxygen. Doesn't want him to talk, but yes, May, yes, he'll be okay. He heals, you know? He's had worse. Tony squinted at Peter. I think. Maybe not. Irrelevant. Anyway, he's in the best hands. He'll... The plane tipped to the side, ramming Steve's hand deeper into the wound in Peter's stomach. Peter screamed and arched upward, hands clenching into fists. There was a piercing silence from the phone.
Bring him home,
May rasped, clearly audible in the phone's tinny speakers. Tony swallowed hard. I'll call again in an hour, he said, and pocketed his phone. Hey, Clint, Sam called. Mind holding this thing steady for a while?
We're trying to,
Natasha yelled back.
We've lost our weather god, Clint added. There's nothing I can do about turbulence, I think. What the fucking hell is going on back there?
Peter got shot, Steve said, threw himself in front of a gun to save Sam. There was a moment of silence, then... Sam turned off his comm, distracted by the explosion of Clint's multilingual cursing, and swept Peter's sweat-soaked hair off of his forehead. All right, kid, he said. I'm going to start stitching your leg now, and then I'm going to do your arm. It's going to hurt like a motherfucker, but then it'll be done, all right? Just hold on tight and focus on breathing. I don't want to have to intubate you while you're still awake, and you don't want that either. Got it? Peter nodded, jaw clenched in anticipation. Bucky, take your hand off the wound. Keep holding him down. Sam opened up the suture kit, leaned over Peter's thigh, and got to work. Peter jerked under Bucky's hands, struggling away from the needle, but Steve and Bucky held him down tight enough for Sam to stitch him up. I'm sorry, son, Sam murmured. It'll be over soon, all right? Hang on tight.
It's okay, Peter rasped.
Hey, what did I say about talking? Focus on breathing, all right?
Doesn't hurt anymore,
Peter finished, eyes glassy and unfocused. Sam exchanged one terrified look with Steve before clipping off the last suture and racing to get started on the wound in his arm. That's a good thing, right? Tony said. Not hurting sounds like a good thing. Why isn't that a good thing? Keep him awake, Sam said. Tony shoved his phone into his pocket and slid to his knees beside Peter. Hey, kid, he said. Don't you do that dreamy-eyed thing, all right? Sam doesn't like it, and when Sam doesn't like something, it's usually a bad thing. That's probably why he gets along with Pepper so well. I'm not quite as reliable that way, but I'm trying. Most of the time. Sometimes. Anyway, are you listening to me? Listen to me. Rise and shine, kid. Peter blinked at Tony. Yeah, see? There you go. Just keep listening to me. Good things happen when you do. I'm thinking about modifying the suit a bit, did you know that? I had this idea the other night. Well, Dummy helped a bit, I guess, but it was mostly my idea. Anyway, I'm going to... Peter lifted a shaking hand towards his chin. Steve pushed Peter's hand back down to the stretcher. The mask stays on, kid. What are you... Sam glanced up from his sutures and froze. Wait a sec, he said. Peter, are you... You're trying to sign something? T-E-L-L, Peter spelled out, wrist pinned to the stretcher by Steve's iron grip. Sam could guess the rest. You're going to tell them yourself, son, he rasped. We're going to get you home, I promise. M-A-Y-N-E-D-M-J-L-O-V-E. Stark will tell them in the next call, and then you're going to tell them yourself when we get back to the compound, all right? T-Y, Peter signed and let his eyes slip shut. Stark, Sam said, trying to keep his voice steady. Pull out another transfusion bag for him, all right? I'll show you how to put it in while I finish up on his arm here.
Yes, hi, Rhodey. We're still flying steady. ETA 2 hours or so. Wind's holding. Yes, he's here. He's fine. Sam says he's stabilized a bit, whatever that means. Bunch of numbers. I'm not that kind of doctor. Yes, May, I promise I'm telling the truth here. Tony's shoes clicked against the floor as he paced the floor of the jet. No, he said at last. You can't talk to him now. I'm sorry, but he'll be... Sam checked Peter's vitals again, trying not to listen in to Tony's call. Because he's unconscious, Tony said quietly. I'm sorry. Another long silence. We're trying to, Tony said hoarsely. I promise, May, we're going to bring him home to you. He ended the call, buried his head in his hands, and closed his eyes. Sam tucked Peter's blanket tighter around him and fiddled with the rate of oxygen flowing into the mask. A blanket settled around his shoulders. He blinked and looked up. Steve settled next to Sam on the narrow medbay bench and offered him a mug of something hot. Cocoa? Thanks. Sam cradled the mug in his hands. Steve leaned back against the corner of the jet and touched Sam's shoulder. Hesitant, awkward, hopeful. Sam leaned back against Steve's chest. Steve wrapped his arms around Sam, pulled him in close, and tucked his chin onto Sam's shoulder. How are you? Steve murmured. About to lose my first child patient, Sam said, because that was easier than saying, I'm wondering how the fuck am I supposed to go back to normal life after being locked into a tiny cube for the last 4 months? Oh, and will I ever actually start to trust the people who put me there? Are my plants still alive? Is your stuff still in my apartment? Do I still have an apartment? What my mother will say when she sees me again? Is my grandmother still alive? How's he doing? Steve asked. Well, Sam said, if he were human, he'd be dead. What is he exactly? Radioactive spider bite. Are you shitting me? Dude, Sam said, you're one to talk. Yeah, Steve said. Well, you want to keep dodging my questions or tell me how you're actually doing? You've been going to therapy, Sam said. Yeah, well, no, not really. I had to go pretty far underground. Didn't want to risk asking someone to stare at my face for an hour. But I found a self-help book at a used book sale. Bought it, read it. Nice, Sam said, and meant it. Good for you, man. Thanks, Steve said softly. It was a pretty dumb book. I could hear you arguing with it on every page. Missed me that much, huh? Steve pressed a fervent kiss to Sam's shoulder, arms tightening around Sam's waist. Sam closed his eyes and sagged back against Steve's solid warmth. I miss you too, he murmured. I'm so sorry I couldn't get you out, Steve whispered, voice thick. I tried. I went to the raft twice. I couldn't get past. I know, man. Sam turned around in Steve's arms, needing to see his face. I know you did. He drew in a deep breath. What happened after you left with Bucky? Steve told him the story in quiet, halting fragments, mouth pulling down in exhausted lines. But you had your shield just now, Sam said. In the fight. Tony gave it back, Steve said. So, are the two of you... I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when we get home. But you're out now, so, at the very least, I should have a better chance of getting you all to safety. I hope. You don't trust him, Sam said. No. Sam settled back against Steve's chest so he could go back to keeping an eye on his patient. Peter does, except I think the kid is actually on our side now. Enough to go against Tony? To fight Tony, if it came to that? Sam considered Peter's unconscious form, face slack and pale, hair matted with sweat. Maybe not fight, Sam said, but stand up for us? Yeah, I think he would. He's a good kid. Too many principles for his own good. Like someone I know. He grinned a little and elbowed Steve. Hate to break it to you, though. He's from Queens. Born and bred. I know, Steve said with a quiet laugh. Still, I'd rather fight with him than against him. And you distracted me again, you know. I know. How are you? How's Rhodey? Steve sighed. Alive. Recovering. Paralyzed from the waist down. Stark made him a pair of mechanical legs. They're still in beta testing, whatever that means. So he's mostly in a wheelchair. Shit. Sam closed his eyes. Steve nodded against Sam's shoulder. I just saw him for a minute, right before we headed out. He's doing okay, I think. At least, as okay as anyone could. He's angry, but he's coping. I should have caught him. From what Rhodey said, sounds like you did the best you could. Sam was silent. How are you? Steve asked. I want pancakes for breakfast, Sam said. I want to go for a really fucking long run until my legs are falling off. I want to curl up on the couch with you and watch movies until we fall asleep on top of each other. I want to call my family. I want to go flying until the jetpack runs out of gas, land on a mountain or something, stay up there for a few hundred years. I want to get absolutely blind fucking drunk. I want to water my plants. I want to sleep with you. And I really don't want to talk about how I'm feeling. Steve was quiet for a moment, heart beating loud and strong by Sam's temple. You really think you can get away with that? Steve asked at last. You've trained me better than that by now. I'm going to keep asking you how you're feeling until you're ready to tell me. Sam shrugged, mouth twitching up towards a grin. Figured it was worth a try. Well, Steve sighed. In the meantime, that does sound like a good list. You think your mom would finally give us her pancake recipe? Not a chance, Sam said automatically, then reconsidered. Well, maybe. Long-lost prodigals? I think we might have a chance this time, as long as we promise to visit as often as we can. Sounds like a plan, Steve said, and cupped Sam's face to his and kissed him.